Welcome to Session 7 of Integrity Selling, entitled How to Close Sales. In it, you'll learn how to know when it's the right time to close. You'll learn that closing is simply asking for a decision at the right time. You'll also learn three integrity closes. And now, here's Ron.
In integrity selling, the close is a natural follow-up when you've done the previous steps well. If you've identified needs, demonstrated a solution, proven your claims, and agreed upon terms, then closing is a natural action. Rejecting tricky maneuvers and fast-talking techniques, the close simply comes down to asking people to buy at the right time. How and when you ask will be learned in this session. One of the integrity selling values is that closing is a double win. Your customers win, you win. If you're truly giving value to people and have proven it through your presentation, why wouldn't they want to buy as much as you want to sell? As we begin to think about closing, here are some ideas I put together as a basis for our thinking. First of all, a close is a natural conclusion when the approach, interview, demonstration, validation, and negotiation steps have all been handled well. Two, if people aren't ready to close, we need to realize that we haven't successfully completed one or more of the prior steps. Then we should go back and attempt to complete that step. Three, salespeople don't always have to go through all the steps of our system in order to sell, but customers do before they're ready to buy. By this I mean that people may be ready to buy without your personally doing the demonstration or validation steps because the product has already been demonstrated or validated to them at another time or in another place. And then four, salespeople should always be ready to close, but they should only be ready to close when people are ready to buy. Number five, closing is usually easier for salespeople who strongly believe in the integrity of their product or service. And number six, closing is easier when salespeople see the sale as a win-win situation. Now, let's think about how to use trial close questions. Trial close questions help you know when it's the right time to close. Remember, the difference between trial close questions and closing questions is simply this. Trial close questions ask for opinions. Closing questions ask for decisions. This is very important to remember. Trial closing questions can be asked almost at any point after we identify people's needs or wants and begin our demonstration or presentation. Here are some typical trial closing questions. How does this sound to you? What do you think of this feature? Do you think this might answer your needs? Which of these do you like best? When will you be prepared to make a final decision? Do you make the final decision, or do we need to include someone else in it? These are some general trial close questions. You'll need to design your own that fit your product or service. I suggest that you write them down after carefully thinking them through and then learn them. Learn them so well that you can give them automatically and instinctively. So well that you automatically respond with them whenever sales situations demand it. Then, after asking these response questions, condition yourself to give positive reinforcement to people each time they respond. Here are three ways to give positive reinforcement to people after they respond to a trial close question. First of all, make rewarding remarks. Secondly, you can nod and show physical signs of approval. And then, you can signify agreement both physically and verbally. Let's suppose you're selling computer systems. Your prospect has identified his or her needs. You've demonstrated the system to them. They're a bit hung up on price, but their body language says that they like it. Here are some trial close questions that you might ask and ways to give them positive reinforcement. You might ask, at this point, do you feel this system will help you get all the reports you want, plus have plenty of room for expansion? And then whatever their answer is, reinforce it. Whether it's a yes or a no, nod up and down and show physical signs of approval. If their response is positive, agree with them that they've made a good choice and then ask for a decision. If their response is negative or indecisive, tell them you understand how they feel and then stress a benefit and then ask other trial close questions. For example, let's say their response is, "Yeah, I like it, but your price is just too much." You can show agreement to this negative response by saying something like, I understand how you feel, and I agree with you. The price is high. And then you might pause a moment and say, almost all my customers felt the same way as you when they only considered the initial price. Then go on by saying, but when they analyzed the savings on injury claims alone, not to mention better management information, they discovered that although the initial investment is considerable, it's a wise one. Is the price the only thing that's standing in your way, you might ask? Now, let me recap what we've done. We asked a trial close question to get their opinion, and then we gave positive reinforcement to them. We give positive reinforcement by making rewarding remarks, nodding and showing physical signs of approval, and signifying agreement both physically and verbally. If people give us a positive answer to a trial close question, we give them positive reinforcement and then agree with them that they've made a good choice. Then we ask for a decision. Remember that when we get negative responses or objections, we still give positive reinforcement. Whenever you get an objection, a stall, or a negative response, signify agreement both physically and verbally, and honestly try to understand their feelings. Argue their case for them. Tell them that you can understand their concerns and that they have a right to feel that way. And then emphasize how the benefits will outweigh the cost and ask more trial close questions. Sometimes you need to be quiet and keep the pressure on people after you've asked a closing question. Other times you may want to relax them after asking for a decision. Recently, I was visiting with a decision maker about conducting his annual sales conference. We got along very well. He'd been to one of my previous seminars. We spent about 3 hours identifying his needs and discussing ways I could help him. I could tell that he was very cautious about making a commitment. He showed his caution several times. Finally, after the interview, demonstration, validation, and negotiation where he'd accepted my fee, I asked him, "Then may I go ahead and schedule these days?" When I asked him that question, he stalled, saying that he wanted to think about it for a few days. As he said this, I nodded up and down and told him that I could appreciate his desire to make the right decision. And then I went on, "If you're not ready to firm this up now, then there must be some information or references that you need. Is that true?" "Oh, no," he responded. "I think you'll do us a good job." "Well, I assure you I will," I said. "Should I go ahead and hold these dates and then check back with you in a couple of days for final confirmation?" I asked. "Yeah, that'd be fine," he answered. As he answered, he relaxed a bit. I had taken the pressure off him. I smiled and nodded and let him know this was all right with me. And then I folded up my briefcase and leaned back for a few moments of closing conversation. And then I asked him, "You run a real risk when you book a speaker, don't you?" He looked at me for a moment and relaxed a bit and said, "Yeah, I sure do." "Well, I can understand that," I said. "If a speaker bombs out, it's your head, isn't it?" "Yeah," he grinned. "The one we had last year really bombed out, and it was almost my head." And then he relaxed a bit more and kind of chuckled, and we chatted for a couple of minutes and talked about some things like an upcoming football game. And then out of the clear blue sky, he said, "Ron, I don't see any reason for you to call me back. Just go ahead and firm up the dates. I know you're going to do us a good job." Well, with that, I thanked him and departed. My taking pressure off him helped him make a decision. Now, by way of emphasis, let me mention the 4 action guides to practice this week. Practicing these action guides will help you increase your closing effectiveness. Here are the action guides. 1, ask trial closing questions to get opinions and responses. 2, listen to and reinforce each response. 3, restate how the benefits will outweigh the cost. And 4, ask for a decision. Remember that trial closing questions call for opinions. Closing questions call for decisions. People don't usually mind giving you opinions, but they're often very reluctant to make decisions. Because buyers face a new fear, the fear of making a wrong decision when the decision time comes, you'll want to be sensitive to their need for reassurance. Often I found that relaxing them, reassuring them, and momentarily taking the tension off them can have a very powerful influence upon them. Obviously, there are other times that you want to be quiet and keep the pressure on them. Now that we've thought about these things, let me give you 3 simple, effective closes. They are, the assumptive close, the either-or close, and the simply ask close. The assumptive close asks for a minor decision assuming that they've already made the larger buying decision. Here's a sample that you can reframe into your own words. Other than the things we've discussed, is there anything else we need to think about before we wrap things up? Or you may ask, all I'll need is your approval, or purchase order, or contract, and we'll begin immediately processing your order. The assumptive close assumes they're going to buy and ask for an accompanying action. The either-or close gives them a choice between two alternatives. Do you want the television set with remote control or without, you might ask. And then the simply ask close simply asks people for a decision. When the time is right, when you've received at least 5 affirmative responses to your trial close questions, simply ask for a decision. Often there comes a time in selling when we have to swallow hard, look at people in their eyes, and ask them to buy. May I go ahead and order this sofa? May we schedule your treatment times now? May I have a purchase order number? These are ways that you can ask. Then, when you do, keep eye contact and silently wait for their answer. The ability to close sales isn't just a matter of technique. For many years, salespeople were taught tricky closes that presented selling as overpowering or outsmarting people. Salespeople and managers fell for them because they sounded quick and easy. Many salespeople didn't feel good doing them, so they didn't. Those who tried to do them felt cheap and compromising in many instances. The truth is that people are internally put together so as not to feel good about taking advantage of other people. We know from many tens of thousands of graduates in our program that salespeople feel better about themselves when they do integrity selling. I believe that old-fashioned, close-focused selling is debilitating to salespeople. It reduces their confidence and their self-esteem. Integrity selling enhances self-esteem because when you truly believe that you can create value for people, you owe it to your clients to be strong in your closing expectations. Many salespeople just don't ask people to buy. Studies have shown that when salespeople begin asking, their sales and earnings increase 20 to 40%. So, why don't more do it? Well, we miss the point if we try to logically understand the problem. The problem is emotional, not logical. Because for most salespeople, logic is overruled by emotion, and in this case, the emotion is fear. Fear is such a strong emotion that it often overrules logic. Even such strong emotions as desire often play second fiddle to fear. I believe fear is the most basic cause of failure in salespeople. What kind of fear? Well, fear of rejection, fear of hearing a no, fear of finding out where you actually stand with a person. Now, I mention these facts about fear to emphasize the most basic cause of why salespeople are weak closers. You see, unless we deal with the cause, which is fear of rejection, the effect, which is weak closing, won't ever be solved. Unless we're willing to stand toe-to-toe and slug it out and win over our fears, we're not going to play in the big leagues. And finally, let me say that as I'm speaking to you, I'm very excited. I'm wondering how many dollars this session could help you earn in extra income for the balance of your sales career. The answer, if we knew it, might be staggering.